Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leon Miller
and Matt Barris
and
Kendra Adachi.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to say my own name.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
We have a special guest here, Kendra Adachi, which many of you may know her as the Lazy Genius, which is a genius name, by the way. Kendra, can you share with us what the Lazy Genius, like, that name means to you and, like, your tagline and your, like, your meat of what you are?
Yes.
Your existence.
Meat and three, baby. Let's do it. So the Lazy Genius name actually came from my buddy Emily P. Freeman, who you guys know.
Yes. Love her.
We got to get her on. She's the third in the trifecta.
Yeah. There we go. She's very good at naming things.
Mm.
And when I was trying to figure out what to call this whole thing, I was like, you know, I really want there to be a space for people, especially for women. Like, we're all trying at so many different things. And can't we just, like, we can care about certain things, but some of it we just have to let go because you can't be good at everything at once. It's too much pressure. Right. And I was sort of like ranting and raving at her in her general direction. And she said, what about Lazy Genius? And I immediately went, because you can be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And it was like this moment. It was, you know, you could just hear the angels singing. It was so funny. So anyway, that was in 20, I don't know, however old my youngest kid is, because that's when I started it. So I started this in 2015.
Okay.
Is that right? Yep. 2015. And the whole, I have a podcast and just came out with my third book. And I love to empower people to name what matters in their lives, so that they can be a genius about the things that actually matter to them. Because we're allowed to care. Like, we have purpose, and we want to feel fulfilled in whatever it is that we're doing, small or big. But in order to do that, there are other things we have to let go of in whatever season we're in. And there just wasn't, at the time, there really wasn't a lot about that. It was both sides. It was either like how you do everything perfectly or messy hair, don't care. You know, it was like you wear your hot mess as a badge of honor. Those were the two extremes. Right. There wasn't anything in the middle. And so I've just been like hanging out in that middle for the last 8 years. Yeah.
And I know we got to do our good day, but I wrote down some things about you that when I listen to you are just so good for me just to hear, even at 56, is that not only are you relatable, but you give me permission to be me.
Yeah.
Like, you give me permission to do what works for me for my life. Because in my generation, it's like you do A plus B equals C, and you do that or you're wrong.
That's right. It's so formulaic. Everything is a formula to follow. Well,
you're also like, you come from the generation of she was literally one of Jerry Falwell's kids. Yes. Like, parade the children on stage at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Virginia. So she was like, that is like your generation. Yes. That's my parents' generation too, of like perfectionism.
Yes,
and so to break free from that is huge.
I mean,
how your face, Liam, is like all squinched up, like, please don't make me talk about that.
I mean, that's why every now and then I have to admit that I smoke a cigarette on occasion. Because, you know, that's true. You know, you had to look a certain way. Mm. You had to communicate a certain way. But you certainly kept your house and your car. All of it was kept a certain way. And so there was no room for me to be myself.
Totally.
And so when I listen to your podcast, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then I always feel like I'm winning when I'm doing something right. But let's talk about our good days. We'll get into that.
We have so much to talk about. All right, Leanne, I'm going to go with my good day first.
Okay.
Here's my good day. Picture it. Sicily. No, I'm just joking. Picture it. Picture it. The Barrises, you know, we decorate our house early.
Yes, you do.
But you know why we decorate our house early? It's because of the joy. Like, listen, people have so many, speaking of rules and freedom, we decorate our tree on November 1st. Like, I don't care.
I think it's August.
I wish. It's when the time change comes and it gets dark at 5 o'clock. I want the glow. I want the glow. I want the lights. I want the candles. I want the incense.
You want the things. You want the Dickens Village.
Oh. Not enough people talk about the ambient light of a Christmas tree.
Agree. Yeah.
There's nothing like it. It's like
ultimate hygge.
It is. It's fantastic.
So, I want all the ambient light. So recently, you know, our Friday nights are often movie nights for our family. You know, I thought parents were just like trying to be really cool with having pizza on Friday night, but it's because we're tired. We are tired by Friday night. So Friday night in our house is pizza night. Our pizza hack for homemade pizza. Maybe this is lazy genius. Maybe it's not. I don't know if you're into recipes. Our hack is it's a 1-to-1 ratio of Greek yogurt and self-rising flour. So if you use Greek yogurt and self-rising flour and mix them together in your mixer, so it could be 1 cup and 1 cup, 2 cup and 2 cup, however you ratio it, that makes a really good pizza dough that's really easy. And there's no rising involved. There's nothing involved. It's literally mix it and make it.
I feel like I can't speak into this because I used to have a pizza podcast and that's not what we're doing here because I have so many questions. Do you know how many pizza dough recipes I've made in my entire life? And I've never heard of this.
Oh, it's great. This is our hack.
You're either a genius or you're insane. I'm not sure which one it is.
Can it be both?
I don't know. We'll give it a shot. We'll I have to try it. I'm like, I'm fascinated by this. Anyway, continue.
Half Greek yogurt, half self-rising flour.
Okay. It's full fat. It's got to be full fat, right? Because you have to have fat in it.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Continue. I'm so sorry. Continue.
And so we do our pizza night. Everybody makes their pizza. And we're just sitting by the tree watching Christmas movies. And I have a lot of opinions about Christmas movies, but we won't get into that. But I will say Muppet Christmas Carol is a gem. It's underrated.
It's the best. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Post Jim Henson's death, his son Brian directed it. First Brian Henson directed film. This is not a film podcast. However, we had this moment where we're just sitting on the couch, you know, and I have an 11-year-old, I have an 8-year-old, and I have a 4-year-old. And it's like, these are good days.
Yeah. Right.
Like, there's something about Christmas. There's something about the pizza. Like, it's our tradition where our kids love that we do pizza on Friday nights. And it's like, you know, those moments where you just stop and you look around and you're like, this is it. This is why we're living. Yes. This is why we are getting kids to places. And our kids love it. So that's my good day.
I love it.
Tell me yours.
Well, I'm a little ahead of you, you know, as far as kids.
Yeah, you're in a different season.
I'm an empty nester. Our kids came home for Thanksgiving, and I'm at the season now, Matt. I can drink with my kids.
Okay.
Like alcohol. Now, I mean, I'm not talking about going out and partying, but like.
Oh, Jerry Falwell would be so disappointed.
He's just rolling around in his grave. Bless him.
Cigarettes and the beer.
Okay. So, our youngest son lives in Columbus, about an hour and a half from us, and our oldest son came home with his new fiance.
Hello.
And he will be 30 in January. Does that make you feel old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should, because you've known him since he was like 11.
I know.
But
old.
So they came home and we went to Columbus and we just spent the day together. And there was a moment, just like you said, we went to this place. Oh, they were trying to pick out which cocktail lounge to go to. And I was like, I'm going to a cocktail lounge with my kids. This is so fun. And we go in and they're looking at the menu and they're wanting to order for me. And we go to it's just this cool little place. And we put our hands together for a toast and I took a picture from the top and I was like, wow, this is a moment. These are good days. We're just toasting his birthday and all together and everybody's healthy. You know, not to sound old. I'm 56. I know I'm 56, but the older you get and the more life that you see go on around you with people and with circumstances, the more precious it is when everybody's there and healthy and just doing well. Everybody's happy. We got an engaged son and our 25-year-old's doing great. And it just felt so good.
Yeah.
And it's not always like that, right?
No,
so when it's like that, I'm like, toast, boys, let's go for another round. And then it was sweet. This is a season we're in too. And I love it. And it made the day even better is my oldest son said, oh, I'll take the tab. And I'm like,
ooh, hello.
Okay. You take that tab, honey.
I'm still
working on that Parent Plus loan from Wheaton College. So you just go ahead and take that tab. But it was just a sweet what seemed to be ordinary day. We went thrifting and yeah. it was just a sweet day and it was good.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
That was my good day.
Kendra, what about you? What's a recent good day that like burns in your memory?
Well, it's funny because I have to, and there's kind of a, there's a theme of this in my book, honestly. I am a person who can get very distracted by the comparison of one part of my life to another. Mm-hmm. And so I have to say that today is a good day or none of them really can be. Ooh, like there's this element of, I say this a lot, that there is good here now. What is whatever is happening, there is good here. There's good here. Even if it is the goodness of being present where I am and not either resenting what I'm living, or if I am resenting it and I'm like, you know what? That's actually understandable because this is really hard right now. Like being with myself with whatever is happening is really important to me. It's like a spiritual discipline that I have to that I really want to cultivate because of how easily I can, because I'm a recovering perfectionist. And so basically for so long, if days weren't like everything lined up circumstantially in the correct way or in the most ideal way, then it wasn't enough. And we needed to keep trying to make it match that. Mm. And I'm just kind of done with the matching because it makes me disconnected and discontent from and with my actual life. So I would say that today is a good day because these are good days because my daughter is, this is day number 12 that she has been home with pneumonia. Oh. And that is not good, but what is good is how sweet she is being at home, and her brothers have been, you know, really kind to her. And today, school got canceled because of a dusting of snow because I'm in North Carolina and we have a hard time with cold things. And so everyone is home unexpectedly, which is why I'm still in my pajamas and I haven't washed my hair today. I had to check in and I was like, is this video going to be like posted anywhere? Because your girl is not camera ready. Like we, but my daughter and I just now, I was working this morning trying to, because again, she's been home and Thanksgiving, like my husband didn't get to go to Thanksgiving because he was home with her. And it's just been kind of like a lot of unexpected things that you wouldn't go, this is how I want this last week to look, right? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really in the house as much today because I was trying to knock out a lot of things. And I went inside and I was like, okay, I've got to go. I got to go for a walk or go to the gym or something because I can feel it in my body. The stress is too high. And my daughter goes, I haven't seen you all day. Aww. And I went, you're right. Okay. And I thought, well, we can pivot. We can move I do need to take care of myself because I can feel myself about to explode. But I can move that to later, before dinner. I can do that later. And I was like, okay, what do you want to do? Let's play. What do you want to do? And so she got out her kinetic sand and lots of like measuring cups or whatever. And we made cakes. We had like a cake decorating little time together, and it filled her bucket and it was so sweet. And then they walked down to my mom's house who lives down the street while I work here and my husband works in our bedroom. And so it's like, that is not a good day. And it's not a very Instagrammable, you know, like sort of curated, like this is a moment, which those are beautiful. And we have those and I'm grateful that we have those, but I also have to name this kind of day too.
Yeah.
So that's so good. This is also a good day.
Yeah. Yes. Well, how old are your children?
My boys are 15 and 13. My 13-year-old just turned 13 like 4 days ago. So I have two teenage boys now, and my daughter's eight and a half.
Wow.
You're getting ready for a driver, a licensed driver.
So do I want to tell? Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're going to cut that out. Yes, I am getting ready for a driver. He's nervous about it. And I'm like, you got to get over it because I need you to take your brother to school. Because I have three kids in three schools right now. And it's not, that's not my journey. If I could not have that be the case for I'm about to have a driver. I know it's weird. That's
wild. I think you bring up a good point is that when we're having challenging times and you can't say, oh, this is a good day. It's so happy. There are pockets of good.
There's pockets. There's moments. Even if it's like one, like literal moment because I think that that is such a tether for me.
Yes, me too.
That if I'm like, everything's falling apart, like, what are we even doing? Like, I can just spiral so quickly into being discouraged. And so I'm just like, it's just a buoy, the little good thing. I'm just always like, there's even, good here right now.
Yes. Even her saying, I haven't seen you all day. Like, she wants to see you.
She wants to see me. That's right. Yeah. Some kids don't.
That's a good day.
That's a great thing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, well, Kendra, I have some questions for you, and I do want to talk about your book today because I binged it and I love it. But I have some questions for you to kind of kick us off. You talk about the impetus of The Lazy Genius, where that started. What season of life were you in when that started? Like, what did your life look like at that moment when you were like, okay, we're starting something different?
Yeah.
And in the plan, you talk about how a lot of your work hasn't been done in spaces with women.
Yeah.
You know, the work in regards to streamlining systems and being like, I don't know if being kind to yourself is the right way to say that, but
no, I think
streamlining systems, realizing yourself, living to your full potential is very much a man's world and often in the business world in particular.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about when The Lazy Genius was birthed? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's felt like birthing a baby and raising a child to some degree. What did life look like for you? Yourself, and what's the work that you did for yourself first before you even brought it out to the world to share it with us?
Well, this was my third kind of internet business venture. I've started a business right around every time I've had a kid, which just shows you it's like motherhood is beautiful and I really love it, but I also have to have something that's not that to put my time into. And so I actually started a business before my eldest was born where I taught cooking classes in my own home, and I had like a food blog or whatever. And then I started to resent him for not taking longer naps so I could get my work done. And I was like, oh, that's not great. Yeah. So we stopped that. We shut that down. And then I did kind of like a fun sort of pop culture dessert type thing with my second kid because I needed another thing. But then I actually started, I was going to start this. It had the name and everything. And because I had noticed in those years of already doing kind of internet work, this energy of like try hard or give up, you know, it was, I could already see kind of the opposite ends of that spectrum and thought, man, I just feel like there's a better way here, you guys. Like there's another option. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to start this business, and it was going to look a little bit different, but I had – both of my kids were going to be going into elementary school. So it was like kindergarten. They were going to be kindergarten and second grade, my boys. And then your girl got surprise pregnant. And I was like, oh no, I thought we were done. This is a shame. And I was honestly like talking the season of life that it was honestly really difficult in a lot of ways because and we don't have to, you know, go into it too much, but because pregnancy is really sensitive for a lot of folks. But I felt genuinely like really guilty because I had friends who were trying to get pregnant, who were waiting to adopt babies, and this was something I didn't want to have happen.
Yeah.
And it was really like, and I wrote a post about it even about like when you aren't excited about this, and it was really powerful how many people felt met in that moment. And how kind people who did want to be pregnant were to me in that, just trying to, I don't know. And so there was this, I don't know that that was like this culminating moment, but there was something powerful in the intersection of this business that I thought I was going to have. And then how my life stage just took a pivot because you add a new baby to things.
Right.
Well, your schedules are very different now. I thought I was going to have my whole day back. And then it's like, no, nope, you're not.
We're back
and
at square one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're back at square one. And so, but there was this really precious, tender, almost like very fragile thing. We were talking about something deeply personal, but also something that hits people in different ways and just taps into parts of their stories that are like very vulnerable. And I felt as though I was able to navigate that with like wisdom and like I felt very privileged to be able to hold space for that conversation and for people to feel like they could be honest about their own experiences, whatever they were. And so there was just this place of like, you know what? We can all have different views on things and different experiences and priorities and all of that. And it doesn't make us othered from each other. Like we can still cherish each other's experiences and see things from different perspectives. And so anyway, it kind of like, that's what I really hope to do is for people to feel, it's kind of what you were saying earlier, Leanne. Like I want people to be like, I'm me. Like I want to be myself here. Like this is my life. And I, and not in a like, not in a like, this is my life, but like in a, what a gift to have your life. What a beautiful gift. And so I just, I've just been trying to encourage people, especially women, because women have generally more expected of them. And less support to do it. And tools that are not made for them. So it, it just felt like, in this, these last couple of years, it felt like it was time to speak into a space that men are typically the only ones speaking into, but also perhaps the message that a lot of the men that we're learning from, it's not that it's wrong, it's just incomplete, but perhaps some of the message is actually doesn't align with how a lot of people want to live anyway. You know, maybe we just need like a whole new paradigm here. I wonder. So anyway, that's like a lot of words to say. I feel very called to be a person who can hold space for lots of different people and help give practical help, but also like really soul level withness. In whatever your life you needs to look like, you know,
I think also there's something to be said when you shared what you shared about, getting pregnant with your third child. There's something to be said when someone is brave enough to say what you hold as like shame or guilt or, or like you're afraid to say it. And then someone says it for you. And then you're like, yes, I know. I feel that way too. And then it, and then it, it, what it does is it connects you to the person in a way that you feel like I can trust this person because they put them themselves on the line to say something that was risky and hard and really not, not typical. Like it's just not typical that people say those things and make people feel actually free, you know, or better about how they're feeling. For sure. I think there's power in that.
Yeah. I think that speaks to your, I think a gifting of yours as a spouse to a woman that loves you and says she would love to meet you in person. She's a little bit jealous right now. As a husband of someone who has a wife that, you know, has all the demands,
just benefited. Like
we don't, I have seen the permission that you've given to her and her friends. I've seen the way that you've paved the way for freedom. When I was reading your book, The Plan, which this is maybe there's an ironic like juxtaposition of a book called The Plan, but also me I kept thinking the word freedom over and over and over and over. That's my, my wife and I are like word people. And we feel like sometimes the Lord gives us a word for someone. And I just kept hearing the word freedom when I was reading your book, which is probably the most ironic juxtaposition of a book called The Plan.
I know.
To say, I think something called The Plan would actually give people freedom.
It doesn't sound right,
but it really, really does. Yeah. And I love that about you. I think that's a huge gifting and a calling that you have. And so thank you for doing your work. And you know, somebody has to go first. And I think in a lot of ways you went first.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
I'm sure you have stories that you don't share publicly that you're like, oh, this one kind of hurt when somebody said this or did this. I'm sure you have those, as we all do. But overwhelmingly the word freedom, compassion, you know, all the things you're doing that work. And so I am thankful for that. You're such a disarming person in that regard.
Thank you.
So for people that aren't familiar with you, I'd like to talk a little bit before we talk about your book is the 13 principles.
Yes.
Because I love the 13 principles. And same. I can tell you some of the ones that impact our life that we implemented years ago. We just did one of them. And it's number one is a big one in our life.
Yeah. Decide once is everybody's favorite. One. That's what you're going to say, right?
Decide once. Listen, I have, let me tell you about our decide once in our house.
I have a story about decide once too, but go ahead.
Is it about mine?
Yeah, it's about your wife.
Oh, about what we do for teachers?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
tell her.
Okay, let me just tell you. He can tell you, but I have to preface the story by saying this. Okay, you know how when you watch somebody on Instagram that you love and you're like, oh, and they shout out their friend and you like go check out their friend and you're like, oh, yeah, she looks nice. She looks cute and she's saying great things. So somehow, years ago, somebody mentioned Emily P. Freeman. Mm-hmm. And so I started following her. And I'm like, oh, she's so insightful. Oh, she's
so she's amazing.
And I like the way she talks.
She's the wisest, kindest, quietest. Yeah, it's amazing.
And then, you know, I found her sister and then you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
the trifecta is what we're calling you.
So there's this thing that when you watch people and you're like, well, of course, that they're friends. Of course, she's going to say that about her friend. Like, shit, they're friends. But there's something just so special about when word on the street, when there's word on the street from someone that doesn't know you, that you don't know them, they don't know you, and you hear your name, like truly, when it's like when somebody uses a recipe of mine and they love it and it becomes a family favorite, that to me is like home run. So I came over to Matt and Mallory's. This is probably 2 years ago.
You can tell the whole story. Okay. And keep going.
I came over to your house and I had, you know, I kind of heard your name, but I never on the street.
Sure.
And so
our home is also known as the street.
I'm into it.
So she's packing up, she's unpacking all these hand soaps from Bath and Body Works. Like I felt like she was like getting ready.
Opening up a store.
Yes, I felt like you were getting ready to go on the black market for hand soap. I'm like, on what's happening? And she's unpacking them. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm deciding once. And yes, I said, what do you mean? And she goes, lazy genius. I'm deciding once. And I said, please explain. And here's what's beautiful for you. It's like you have people out there that are implementing these principles in their life that are literally operating them like in their kitchen. And I'm watching it. Like I'm watching it happen. Yeah. And I'm like, now this is really smart. She's like, I buy all the kids, all their teachers, soap, hand soap from Bath. So I only have to decide once. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, this lazy genius.
She's onto something.
She's pretty genius.
I'm going to pick up what she's selling.
That's pretty good. Okay. So
that is one of our biggest decide onces is, you know, we're my wife and I both work in education. We're like, teachers don't need mugs.
Teachers,
we don't need all the things. We don't need Apple stuff, no Apple pins, whatever. And so we said, what would every teacher actually use during the holiday season? So when Bath and Body Works has their Black Friday, we literally did it Friday. We have probably 65 soaps come into our house this week because that's our decide once. And every teacher, as our teachers at our school know, you know, because we have a fifth grader now, our decide once is you're going to get 3 hand soaps for Christmas and at the end of the school year. And that's so our decide once.
So good.
We also have a decide once menu for when friends come to spend the night, because we're 40-year-olds and we still have sleepovers with our friends that live out of state. Mm-hmm. So we have our menu, our Decide Once menus, and Decide Once has truly changed our life. Where was that birthed in you? Like, what was your thing where you're like, I have fatigue from decisions?
You know, it's kind of the creation of all 13 principles, honestly, it has the same story. And it's really kind of wild because I thought that my first book, which is called The Lazy Genius Way, originally I pitched it as The Lazy Genius Life, which sounds a little cultish, but that's fine.
There's a fine line.
I know.
There's
my husband actually tells me, he's like, you're a bit of a cult leader. I'm like, well, you're not.
I was a Jerry's
wrong.
Kid, so I mean, hey, yeah, right? I'm good company. You were. Good company here.
That's right. But the originally, when I started to write the book, I thought that it would be structured like, you know, the chapters would be long. There'd be a kitchen chapter and a laundry chapter and an errands chapter and like trying to figure out like these areas of life. But as I would try to write, I wrote 55,000 words, which is a book, everyone. I wrote 55,000 words that were never used. I wrote a whole book to realize this is not the book, which is quite devastating as a first time author, but that's okay. That's a different podcast episode. But I thought, because the reason that it wasn't working is because there were too many variables. Yeah. Because what if you didn't care about this? Right. What if this thing in your kitchen didn't matter? What if you wanted to do your laundry all in one day, or you actually needed to do like a load a day, or you just were going to live under the piles until everyone had dirty everything? And it's like, all right, everybody, all hands on deck, let's go. Like there were too many variables. And I said to myself out loud in my kitchen, as I'm trying to figure this out, I said, I wonder if there are like principles, because at this point I had been doing the podcast for, I guess, 2 or 3 years. And I said, I wonder if there are like, are there underlying principles that I use in all of these things in my life that I've just never named before?
That's good.
And so I started to go through like what makes life feel a little bit easier for me. And these 13 principles are what came out. Like there were not 14 or 15 and I cut. It was these 13.
Yeah.
Decide once being the first one. And I ran the principles through every single thing I had ever made, every podcast episode I had done, every blog post I had written. And I said, what am I are all of these 13 principles represented fairly regularly throughout everything I do? And is there anything missing? And there was nothing missing.
So good.
And they were all covered. And I was like, well, there it is. There's the book. We found it. So there was no like one singular decide once is a thing. It's just they all, I was looking at my life. And one of the things that makes my life a lot easier is, well, we eat the same things on these particular days. And I kind of wear the same outfits on this day. And I get the same sort of gifts for these people. So I don't have to think about it anymore. What can we call that? Decide once.
Yeah.
It's, you know, well, and I now love- it's like a whole thing.
I love how you said in the plan, you talk about how decide once at one time.
Yeah.
Like you do it. And then when it doesn't work for you, you change.
So that's exactly right.
Can you tell us the story of like your clothes situation?
Yes. The Monday uniform. Yeah. So the Monday uniform was the example, one of the main examples I used in the Lazy Genius Way, which came out in 2020 for the decide once chapter. And I wore for years, like years and years, I wore black pants and a chambray shirt every Monday, because Mondays were stressful and there was a lot and I had tiny humans and I just was like, I can't think about it. And I feel like myself in this outfit. So let's just go with it. And I did that for, it was probably seven or eight years where that's what I wore every single Monday.
I love that.
To the point where people were like sharing their own Monday uniforms or they would just wear mine. Like there was one with my friend Aaron and my other friend Terrence. So it was like a guy and a girl working together and they both showed up in my Monday uniform on the same Monday. Realized they both got it from me and took a picture together. It was so funny and it was just fantastic. But then I no longer felt the same sort of Monday stress. And I also just had some, you know, adjustments in my own style where it was like, I just don't know that this isn't necessary anymore.
Right.
And there was like, there was not backlash. There was like comical surprise. People were like, wait a minute, what do you mean? What happened to your Monday uniform? What are you talking about? And it was actually a really good example to go, hey, you make a choice about one thing one time. And you keep making it until it doesn't work for you anymore. Right. And you have to build that in because then you're stuck with this thing. You're like, well, I guess I decided I can't quit now. Like, no, you actually should. If it's not working anymore, stop. Change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind. So I do not have a Monday uniform anymore.
That's all right.
But that's exactly right. Like that's okay because it didn't, it wasn't necessary. And that's okay.
Yeah, I love
that. If you were to tell us like, so if we were at a bookstore and we saw all three of your books there, of course we want you to buy all three. But could you tell us how do you feel the Lazy Way and the plan are different?
Yeah.
And how are they the same?
Yeah. So the Lazy Genius Way is really like, it is the 13 principles. It's a chapter per principle. And those principles are definitely kind of foundational for being a genius about the things that matter. It's a bit of a practical daily kind of how-to, right? Yeah. Of like, okay, so if you're overwhelmed in this area, try this principle and see if it helps.
That's good.
The plan is more holistic in saying, okay, let's look at life like from a slightly broader scale. How are we getting our stuff done?
Yeah.
Like it's sort of like the Lazy Genius Way is let's learn the alphabet. And then the plan is like, okay, now let's learn to read.
Let's read. Yep.
Yeah. Let's put it all together. And then the Lazy Genius Kitchen is the second book. And that just uses the principles and applies them to the kitchen. It's like its own, she's like doing her own thing in the corner, you know, like she's such a vibe. I love her so much. She's illustrated and cool. Like I love the Lazy Genius Kitchen with my whole heart. It makes such a great gift. That's a lot of people's decide once gifts for like college graduates or weddings or whatever is they'll do like tea towels and a wooden spoon and a copy of the Lazy Genius Kitchen.
I need that book.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a great book. It's really good, you guys.
I might get it for you for Christmas.
It's what? What'd you say?
I was like, it's really good. It's a really, really good book. Yeah.
And I'm a kitchen person. So listen, I have to say when you explained, I listened to your podcast on the principles, and when you explained the start small principle, where you basically pick, like, if your kitchen's a mess, I was like cheering, because I was like, I didn't even know I was starting small. I didn't even know I was like a star student. But my mom used to always say, like, if the kitchen's a mess, okay, this could be one of your, I could be one of your lazy genius star pupils on a podcast
cult,
day.
Cult members.
Cult member is, is, you could say Leanne shared this and it's genius, is that my mom used to always do this and it's helped me so much over the years, is she would say, if the kitchen's a mess, draw a big sink of soapy water and get new washcloths out and a new tea towel for drying. And it just starts this like process of, oh, look at that new soapy water. And she would say, just start in a small area and work your way out. And that really has, I really feel like I would have made you proud all these years, because I was doing start small and I didn't
I'm proud of however you do things.
I didn't even know I was doing it. But each principle, I will say, if you haven't read The Lazy Genius Way, each principle is so special. I love the last one, because I feel like being kind to yourself is something as women we overlook, and we don't do it until we're in our 50s. You know, I haven't started being kind to myself. I mean, that's my whole frothy coffee spiel, is that frothy coffee to me, it's could be cheesy to some people, but to me, it's a kindness, an extra step and an extra kindness I show myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that each principle holds something that is a kindness to yourself. Like each, like the kindness is a vein that runs through all the principles.
It is.
And then what happens, and what's so pretty about it and beautiful, is that those spill over to the people that you love the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you are doing these principles, your whole family is affected in a positive way. So I haven't read The Lazy Genius Way yet, but I'm gonna go buy all three. I'm gonna go buy all three, and I'll tag you on Instagram, because because as you talked about the principles, I'm like, oh, I know, I love this book.
Yeah.
Does Mallory have that book?
Yeah. So I read the plan. Yeah, we got. Listen, this is old news for us. We live this out. Like, so I want to talk about the plan for a little bit,
because
We live The Lazy Genius Way. Listen, Mallory and her friends will say, they were insistent that I tell you that lazy genius is a verb in our circles. Mm-hmm, so they'll be like, I'm going to lazy genius dinner tonight. I'm going to lazy genius my house.
I love it.
So I don't know if you've heard that it's a verb, but you're a verb.
Oh, yeah. We
also, you're a noun.
We did turn it into a verb, like a lot love of people it. Do. I have to do that now. It's like, how do we lazy genius this thing? Which my Google Doc still is sort of like, it gives me the red squiggle. Like, no, this is not the part of speech. What are you doing here? I'm like, no, just trust me. It's all fine. We're all fine here.
So, okay. I want to talk about the plan, because I loved the plan. And the plan, what I love that's genius about the plan is the way that, first of all, that you laid it out. I don't know. Do you like hearing about yourself? Because I'm going to talk about you for a second. So if you
I have a feeling it doesn't matter if she does or doesn't.
You're I was going to say, I don't think the answer is going to change what you're going to do next. So I love
the way that you set up your book. So the first, you know, third, it's divided into three parts. The first third is like the principles. You're like laying the groundwork and the foundation for the work. And then the second part is strategies, which I loved. Oh. And then the third part, oh my gosh.
I feel like the next step is you're going to get a t-shirt with Kendra's face on the front of it, because you love this book so much.
And here's the thing. Part three is the best part. I mean, you have to have it all, but part three is her pep talks. And if you haven't heard a Kendra Adachi pep talk, it is literally like having a best friend, like having a cup of coffee with you, or like reading your journal to me, like you wrote me a letter. And my favorite pep talk would have to be when you don't have help, is my personal favorite. I am a big, I don't know if you know this, but I'm an extrovert. We've spent 35 minutes together.
I would have guessed if you put me on the spot, I would have guessed that.
Yeah. But I love when you don't have help, because listen, I don't want, this is very salacious, but I've had a baby thrice with the same woman, Mallory, and I watched
Mallory. You can't have any more though, because you've been stim.
Stop it. We're not talking. That was, We talked about my vasectomy. Well, my hypothetical vasectomy. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Got it.
However, I from a husband's perspective, I watched my wife, you know, my wife chose to nurse, which was a huge commitment. If you've never done that, it's a huge commitment. My wife works a full-time job. She does all the things. Had three babies, and I watched her navigate that with grace. But also, even though we're in community, we have great friends, you know, we have involved moms. Both of our moms are very involved in our life. It is a lonely season. And there are seasons, whether it's grief or loss or depression or other mental health things that we might experience in our lives, that just feel so lonely. And I love your call for community, because I think that's such an important part.
Yeah.
In a space where you're creating structure and framework, rarely do I see someone call the community to action and say, hey, you need to get people involved in this. Like, whatever it looks like, if your neighbor, I think in the book you said something like, if your kid's in the yard screaming and there's another kid in the house, ask the neighbor to watch the kid in the yard screaming while you go take care of the kid in the house. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I think your call for community is such a beautiful thing that isn't in the spaces where you are. You know, you've earned your way into spaces that don't typically call for empathy and don't typically call for community. And I love that about you. I think that is such a gifting. The other thing I would love for you to elaborate on that I literally laughed out loud at. First of all, did you know that women could be fired for being pregnant until 1978.
I know.
That's wild. I learned that in your book.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
I would like for you to talk a little bit about big black trash bag energy.
Oh yeah. Of course.
Like, if we could give a little teaser for the book.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening, we have a great community of listeners that really talk to us and support things that we support. But if I could give a little teaser for the book, can you talk about big black trash bag energy? Because I have done it.
Yeah.
And we're coming up to Christmas when your house is going to get full of all the plastic.
I know.
Like, I have kids, so I know what Christmas looks like. And you say resist the temptation for black trash bag energy. But talk a little bit about that for us.
It has nothing to do with women getting fired for being pregnant, everyone. That was just like, so you know.
That's just
like
a random
very
aside.
Quick segue. Just want to make sure we throw all the women in a trash bag. No. So big black trash bag energy is probably very, like, you said it, and I bet 90% of the people listening were like, oh, I know what that is. Mm. It is when we are over it in our space, mm-hmm. and we get a big black trash bag and we make a pronouncement, mm-hmm. whether in our own bodies or out loud to whoever is close enough to hear. And we're like, things are going to be different around here. Mm-hmm. And you just come get your stuff or it's going to the dump. Like, you've got 10 minutes. And because we just, here's what we do. When we feel overwhelmed by our space, by a situation, by a circumstance, but it usually comes out in our space because it's what we see, it's what we live in all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes the most sense that's where it hits. When we feel overwhelmed by anything and it's very big, we typically do not get overwhelmed by small things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we're overwhelmed by something big, like my house is a disaster. We think that the solution is a big solution because it is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And the big solution is, well, let's start over. Let's throw everything away. The number of people listening, raise your hand where you are. No one can see you. It's fine. Raise your hand if you've like, should I just burn my house down? Should we just start over? Just go to ash? Is that fine? The number of times I've said to my husband, I'm like, should we just live in a tiny house? Should we start over? Should we get a caravan? Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do? Live on the road? Let's go. I would like to eat from two bowls forever. I actually wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I'm a glamper at best. Oh, but anyway, same. The point is, big problems require big solutions. Hmm. And so if you don't stop, take a deep breath, access some softness within yourself a little bit, and go, okay, yes, there is a lot around right now. But coming at everyone like the Hulk is not going to do anyone any good. And I'm going to tire myself out 10% of the way in, and nothing's really going to get solved. So Instead, we make things much, 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 much smaller. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you just go, because small problems, they only need small solutions. Mm-hmm. And in general, we can come up with those.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you feel overwhelmed, make whatever you're overwhelmed by as small as you can. So an example, I think I might have given this in the book, but if you think like right now, I have two boys, two teenage boys, newly teenaged, 13 and 15. One's in high school, one's in middle school. And, you know, they're teenage boys. Like, it's just, it smells weird. They're like yes. so yes. tender and also disrespectful, like on a dime. It's just like, mm-hmm. which one am I going to get right now? Yes. I don't know. It's a whole thing. And they're very different from each other and they argue all the time. Like, we're doing great. So I could very easily say, I am so overwhelmed by the teenage years. Okay. Now, if I stop there, what I might do to try to like fix it, so to speak, which is not something you fix, that I would go, well, we need better discipline, maybe. We need bigger rules around their screens. We need da da da. And you start listing out all these things. And that's when you get that whole like, it's going to be different around here. It's like a new chore chart and all these things, these big systems that you begin. But instead, if I go, okay, I'm going to keep making this as small as I can. So for me right now, this is legit. I'm just doing this like on the fly. Like, I'm very overwhelmed by the teenage years. Like right now, I can hear my son practicing saxophone. I hope it's not coming through the microphone.
Nope.
Okay, great. I'm so glad.
I kind of wish it was.
It's actually, he's very talented. It's very pretty. But it's also like, dude, I'm okay. It's fine. Do your thing. I am overwhelmed by the teenage years. I am overwhelmed right now by the teenageness because we just came out of Thanksgiving break and we had an unexpected snow day 2 days after that. And I have been with my children, one of whom is sick. I have not been alone in what is now 12 days. I have not been alone. And it's not just with my own family. It's with extended family because of Thanksgiving and all of the different extra things. It's like, okay, so I'm feeling that right now. I'm overwhelmed because I haven't been alone. I've been with them all for so long and I love them a lot. Okay, let's make that even smaller. Today, I'm feeling like I'm more overwhelmed by that because I haven't moved. I haven't moved my body in a way in probably 3 weeks and I can feel it. So it's like, really what I need to do, I don't need to make new rules around their screens. I need to go for a walk.
That's what
I need to do. I just need to go for a walk.
Go on up to Planet Fitness.
That's right. I'm going to go up the street to Planet Fitness. That's right. If you're listening, let's go. And it's going to be like, that takes a little more time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also is not as fun. It's not as satisfying to make it small and be like, yeah, I guess I should just go for a walk. There is something that's like weirdly, I don't know. It's like pulling a Band-Aid off, like being sort of like, this is gross, but also kind of cool. When you like want this big thing and you're like, we're starting over, everybody. Like, you know, in your heart, like this is not the greatest move.
Right.
But there's something about it. You're like, let's just do it anyway. So there's like a little bit of a choice. There's like a self-discipline there to go, let's make it smaller. We don't need to overreact to this. It doesn't mean that we're dismissing the overwhelm of the teenage years.
Right.
But if you make it smaller, you actually have a reasonable step you can take to feel more like yourself and feel better in whatever season that you are.
And then probably after you take that small step, you're driving home from the gym or walking home from the walk and you're like, I was crazy just about an hour ago.
100%. Like, usually we look back and we're like, I was crazy an hour ago.
Yeah. Yes. Like, what? 100%. What happened?
You're like, I almost damaged some relationships. Oh my gosh. Feelings.
So intense.
Now I want to kiss those little teenagers.
I know. I'm so happy to see them. Hi, guys. Picture. How you doing? I know.
I'll clean out your gym back. Well, maybe not that far. I'll clean your socks.
Basically, we need to take a beat.
Yeah.
We need to take a beat and we need to make it smaller. Like, I feel like if we do that as humans across the board in any jobs, relationships, just like as a society, we need to take a beat and we need to start smaller. Like a lot of good can come from that.
That's a good word.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. I have another question for you. You are very, the way that you communicate and the way you talk, you are very pro mental health.
I am.
Pro love yourself. Uh-huh. Anti-shame.
Yes.
You know, all of these things. Has counseling played a role?
Oh, all the time. Yes.
Your life? because we talk about like, go see a counselor, go see a therapist. Both of us have a therapist that we both love. I mean, we're not in the same practice.
No, that would be weird.
That would be weird. But, you know, we each individually see counselors and we are pro counselor. How has that changed? And I, part of my question for this too is our friend Kayla, who loves you, we're recording in her home and she is not here right now, has told me she goes back in particular to your body image episodes, that the way that you've communicated about food, your body, exercise, the way you've talked about yourself and the way you think about yourself has really had an impact on her. So can you talk a little bit about the role of counseling and how it's shaped who you are and how it's impacted your work?
Yeah. So I've been in therapy for a long time, like probably 10 years maybe. And pretty on a very regular basis. And I think that we forget the water that we're swimming in. We forget the messages that we've been hearing for so long, whether from our families of origin or from, you know, with the body episodes from diet culture, like lots of just from being in a patriarchal capitalistic society, there are a lot of things. It doesn't make any of those things like fundamentally wrong. Some of the things are wrong, but not, you know, it's just most of them are neutral things. But if they are in your, they like become integrated in your mindset in such a way that you don't realize how tangled up all these thoughts are. Do I even like believe that this is true? That's one of the foundational things about the plan in general, the book, is that this, the whole time management industry for years and years has been built on the idea of greatness, that the goal of all of it is to 10X and level up and optimize, and you're going to live your ideal life every single day. And if you're not, if these systems that you apply, if they don't work, the problem is you. The problem is not the system. The problem is that you're not disciplined enough to figure it out yet.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, and I'm like, well, that's wrong, number one. Yeah. But really, what if we had a different goal? Like, time management has taught us that greatness is the goal. Well, what if it's like wholeness and just being an integrated person where you are? Yes. What if we organized our time based on that instead? What would that change?
Yes.
In diet culture, the goal there is for women, especially, to be smaller, right?
You just
make
smaller,
yourself smaller. Yes. And what if instead exercise was just like tending to your own enjoyment of life? Like, what if that's all it was? It had nothing to do with the size of your body. How would that change things? When you're talking about like being in your home and kind of like domestic stuff, you know, because there can be some resentment there for a lot of women because of the cultural expectations around like women's sort, dudes do trash and grass and ladies do everything else.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, that's sort of the vibe in a lot of homes. And if you choose that, if both of you actively choose that and that's what matters, that's amazing. And I'm so glad. The difference is, what if there was a new lens and we're like, well, our clean can mean different things. And our family, our home rhythm can look different and like what we're going to prioritize in our home. Or we're going to actually spend the money to have someone come clean our house every other week because we would rather spend our time doing something else. And so we're going to prioritize that. Like all of these different decisions that we can make in our home. What if instead of kind of what you were saying earlier, Leanne, what if it's like, this is what a home looks like and this is who's supposed to take care of it. What if instead we're like, well, actually, a home is a place where our family, we want people to be together. We want it to be a welcoming place where people feel like they can be themselves. That, what if that's the goal? It changes how you decide and prioritize how you're going to tend to it.
Yes.
So all it's, all of it is, and that's why therapy is important, because not only do we have these paradigms that exist in these big, like big life categories, like our culture and diet culture and all these different things, but within us, we have these paradigms that we've been living with and under that without the help of a therapist, I would not really fully have been able to name. So undoing, it's like, oh, I've been living for so long thinking if I make a mistake, then this person that I'm in relationship with is going to leave, or they're not going to like me anymore. They're not going to think I'm important enough anymore. And so my whole thing for so long was, well, I've got to get it right. I've got to get it right with this person every single time. I remember telling my therapist years ago, I was like, I feel like I'm one mistake away from losing everybody, everybody. Mm. And she goes, well, that sounds exhausting. I said, yeah, that's why I come see you every week. It is exhausting, ma'am.
Right.
So it's like we all, I don't care how like healthy your family of origin is. I don't care how innocuous. What's the word? But when you're like, I don't care how unaffected you are by cultural messages. There are things that you have in your brain that are telling you, well, this is what makes you okay here.
Yeah.
And I don't think all of those are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's totally just agree. These things we need someone else to bounce those things off of and to be an unbiased, unemotionally connected. Like you could say the craziest things that would make you feel so much shame in front of someone else. And you can say them to your therapist and your therapist is trained to literally be unaffected by whatever it is you say to them.
Yeah.
And no there's doubt. Just such healing in that. So therapy has been integral in my recognizing that these patterns exist for all humans and also in all of these larger life categories too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's refreshing. It's refreshing to know that you even wrote books within your therapy. Like, how great is that?
Yeah.
Like, and I also think that therapy, what's great about it is you can say all those things and you're saying it to a person that can take all of it and then say back to you something that you can take away and actually it helps.
Absolutely.
Like, it works. It's absolutely. Like, I remember thinking like, well, wow, this is working. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, people told me that it would work, but I don't know if I just didn't believe it or, you know, I feel like therapy is something, I just feel like everybody needs therapy.
I think so too, but it's also something, I think it's important to say it's a good example of starting small, but also that sometimes things take time that like, usually therapy doesn't work for session in the way that you might expect it to.
It's so true.
It's at first you're like, well, this was dumb. I just laid everything out. Now I have a vulnerability hangover and I have to go home to these people I just talked S word about for an hour. Like, what do we do? You know?
Exactly.
So to be patient with not just therapy, like to be kind and patient with the process of life, like life, we have been conditioned by the productivity industry. We have been conditioned to imagine our ideal life in the future. And to reverse engineer what we think it's going to be in 5, 10, 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then we work the plan every single day. And if you don't continue working that plan, then you are not going to reach that ideal. And every day does not count in the way that you should in reaching your potential. I hate reaching your potential. Like, I'm over everybody trying to reach their potential.
And you know what? And also, I love that when somebody used the word balance, you're like, no.
No, that's not a thing. Balance is not a thing. No, it's not a thing.
Well, you know my personality. Balance is not a thing in my life. And so when I've tried to achieve balance, all it did was just make me feel very inadequate.
Right.
Because, and when you said that in a podcast, I'm like, oh, I love her. She's like, no, not balance. No.
It's
I can't remember.
Balance is, it was fairly recent because it was, balance is by nature precarious. Like if you think about when you're balancing on something, you're walking on this tiny little thing and trying not to fall to your death. Like that's not how we want to live our lives. So the alternative is I want to be grounded.
Yes.
I want to be like, I want to be where I am, roots in the, you know, just like roots,
I can
a
be
tree
grounded.
By the water, planted by the water. It's like, that's just what we're doing. And we're staying sounds where familiar. We are. It does sound familiar.
Here's what I'll say too, is where Jeremiah. You, I know that you're, your target audience, if we use that like businessy word,
sure.
is very female focused.
It
you know,
is.
We've talked about that quite a bit, but when you are talking about everything we've just been talking about, I used to be a pastor at a church that we wanted to be on the top 100 growing churches of the year. That was a badge of honor when we got the 100 growing churches. Mm-hmm. And you know, as a man who is an empathetic, a vulnerable guy in spaces of large leadership, I always felt disconnected from like, I wasn't enough. Like I have to be, if I'm not grinding, I also hate the word grind.
Oh,
if
I'm not we don't need to crush or grind. None of,
you,
no
Lord.
Coffee related words, unless we're actually drinking coffee. Not happening.
Like, I just find so much freedom in the spaces where it's like, hey, if this doesn't work for you, Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're wrong, you're bad, or you're wrong, or you should carry some amount of shame. It's how does it work for you?
Right.
Let's talk about it.
I love that.
Make it work for you in your way. And I think as some, you know, we've talked on our podcast too about the mega church culture and all of that industry. I'll say that with intention. That industry around mega church is it's very much that patriarchal leadership grind hustle type of thing.
It's about run the numbers.
Can you run as hard as I'm running?
And I think that something, your message resonates with me in that regard to say, hey, you know, you don't have to be the hustle grind culture kind of guy. You can be the relational, vulnerable, love your family, you know, not sacrifice family time for the industry person. Yeah. And I think I find a lot of freedom in that as well.
That's good.
I'm glad.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great conversation. We have one more segment we forgot to tell you about before. So we're going to sing a little jingle
right
now.
We're going to sing a little awkward jingle.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's talk about food.
We're going to talk about food for one second, Kendra, because we have a wonderful sponsor, Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, which you are going to get
I'm so excited.
You're going to get a lovely box. You're going to get some Koblenz chocolate in that box. You're going to get some baby Swiss cheese. Now, baby Swiss cheese is very much a part of Ohio's Amish country.
100%.
You're going to get some Troyer's Trail bologna. Now, what I'm going to tell you about that bologna, what you need to do.
Okay.
You either need to cut it in very small pieces because it's a disc. It's like shaped like a ring.
Okay.
You're going to either cut it in thin pieces with cheese and put it on a Ritz cracker because it literally is the shape of a Ritz cracker.
I love that
for
alignment.
Like a charcuterie situation. Yep. Or you're going to take a piece of it about 3 inches long, maybe four. You're going to cut it in half, but not all the way through.
Okay.
You're going to cut it in half and kind of splice it open and fry that baby.
Listen.
Fry that.
Your girl is from the South. We fry bologna. That's what we do.
Fry that.
Hello.
Put a piece of baby Swiss cheese on it.
Okay.
And then get you, I don't care if it's King Hawaiian. I don't care if it's just a European whatever kind of bun, put it on a bun with a little bit of mustard, a little bit of Duke's mayo, and just sink your teeth right out. My mouth is watering.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm very, I'm looking forward to, I hope the box is on my porch when I leave right now.
Well, we are so thankful for our relationship and our partnership with Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Yeah. And listen, I'm proposing right now, a trifecta road trip to Amish country. Michael Lynn is in. Now, if we can get you on board for Amish country, bring along Emily P. Freeman.
If Emily and Nestor want to go to Amish country in Ohio, I will sit in that backseat so hard. I'm into it. I can't wait.
We will show you all the spots.
I hope none of you are lactose intolerant because we will stuff you so full of bread, meat, cheese, lots of dairy, butter.
Those are
so
the best food groups. So
100%.
We really are in the land of milk and honey. Truly, we are in such a great area. It's a lovely place to visit.
That's fantastic. And
remember Walnut Creek Cheese and Market this holiday season because they do beautiful gift boxes that can be shipped all over the country.
All over the country.
So if you're looking for a gift maybe for work or for that family member that's across the country, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has the most beautiful gift boxes that they will mail for you. Hey, well, thank you so much for this conversation.
Yes.
And if you... Can you tell us really quickly all three of your books for somebody that like maybe forgot to write them down?
Sure.
Tell us all three of your books so that we can buy them for gifts this
season. Give us a website to go to.
Yes, all the things. So everything is at thelazygeniuscollective.com. So you can find out all the things about me there. So I have a podcast, The Lazy Genius Podcast. We're coming up on 400 episodes, which is very exciting. And the three books are The Lazy Genius Way, which is the 13 Lazy Genius Principles, The Lazy Genius Kitchen, which is hardback and illustrated. It's matte paper, so you can actually make notes in it. Like, it is so retro and fun. It's not a cookbook. It is a book that makes your cookbooks and your kitchen work better for you.
Love it.
And then this book is The Plan, Manage Your Time Like a Lazy Genius. I seek to write books that people read more than once because our seasons of life change and we will read a book through one lens wherever we are. And then we might want to read that thing again and go, I think I want to apply this principle in a new way because I'm in a different season of life right now, or I'm going through this thing. So I really love writing books that feel like references. That's why they're all hardback. Although the way, I don't think they make it hardback anymore. I think it's all paper, which is kind of sad because I want your books to be beat up. Like yeah, I really, yeah, I don't be tender with them. All three of them, like make them work hard. And yeah, so everything is on that website. You can order the books from anywhere books are sold. Order them from your indie, from your favorite indie. I love indies. Mm. I love all three books have made all four bestseller lists. And my favorite of all of that, my favorite of all of that is Indie Bound. That they've all been Indie Bound bestsellers. So that means that people love, like we want to support our indie bookstores. Big
listen,
time.
And I love, on a recent podcast you said, to quote you, you said, I don't want you to buy my book because you like me.
No.
I want you to buy my book because
it helps you.
Yes. It's going to help your life.
Absolutely.
It's gonna help
you.
And I love that.
I love that.
Because I would buy your book because I like you.
Yeah.
I mean,
Very kind. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's very kind. And also, I write books to help people. So,
right.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much, Kendra, for being here. We're thankful for your time and thankful for your message. And again, thank you so much for, on a personal note, for the way you've impacted my wife, Mallory, her friends, Emily and Kayla, who love you. I do have one more question, though.
Wow.
Kayla has a sticker of you as a nun on her water bottle.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the nun sticker?
Why are you a nun? What's going on?
I'm actually not a nun, which is so funny. Okay, I'll tell. It's a real quick story. My friend Erin Moon was turning 40.
Love her.
Okay,
I love Erin Moon.
Yeah. So for Erin Moon, she was celebrating her 40th birthday in Birmingham, Alabama, and she invited me to come and had no intention that I would because I live in North Carolina. Well, it's Erin Moon, and I love her, so I went. I stayed with Jamie Golden. We were going to go to the party together, and on the invitation, it said, for an 80s pop culture party. Okay. It was a costume party, an 80s pop culture costume party. Now, it didn't say like 80s dress, it said 80s pop culture. So I went, well, listen, I want to dress up as something. And I was traveling, I was going on an airplane. So I was like, well, I need to wear something that I feel like myself, that's easy to sort of translate, that I can fold up all the things. And I'm not going to just, I don't want to just like dress 80s. Like, we're dressing as like pop culture characters.
Right.
So I spent so much time, because when I go hard. And I spent so much time figuring out what my costume was going to be. My favorite movie as a kid in the 80s, because I was born in 81. My favorite movie was Willow with Val Kilmer.
This is a deep dive.
This is a deep dive. Willow is one of the greatest movies of all time. There's some weird appropriation things that we probably need to gloss over at this point, but overall, it's like fantastic. It was my favorite movie. Vanessa Redgrave plays Queen Bavmorda, who has like a black and white deal and like a big crown. Okay. And I'm like, dude, I'm going as Queen Bavmorda. This is amazing. Side note, when I dressed up, my mom like helped me sew the costume. I bought a crown. Like, it was so fun. And I had to do a dry run of the makeup before I traveled to make sure that it would work. Good. And I took what I could do. And it's so funny because I was trying to draw like stronger wrinkles on my face and like trying to, I was like, what is, and I showed it to my sister and we watched the movie together. And I said, Hannah, what's wrong with my face? And she goes, I don't know, but it does. You look weird. Like, what's going on? And we looked it up and Vanessa Redgrave in that movie was 40 years old. I'm like, why did I have in my head that she was old? It's because I watched it when I was 8 and I thought 40 was 8. She had amazing skin. And I'm like, get rid of these pretend. I just need to like look fly. So anyway, I go to Jamie's house. Jamie dresses up as baby Jessica in the bottom of a well. That was her costume.
That's amazing.
It was pretty great. And then I have on my Queen Bavmorda full regalia. We walk into Erin Moon's house.
And people are dressed like Madonna.
And everyone is dressed like Madonna. They are in various nylon jumpsuits with side ponies and crimps and big earrings.
Like,
and that's it. The only thing that was like remotely costume-y was there were two people, a very hot couple, mind you, who were dressed as Top Gun pilots. Like, they both had on the whole coverall things and aviators. And I walked into that house full of people I do not know. Full of people I do not know. I walk in. I'm not wearing my glasses. I walk in.
Who are you?
And there are children in the front. One of them shrieks as I walk in. She's like, ah! And I hear, who's the scary nun? So
you're
I go through
on a water bottle.
I know. So I go through the whole party. I'm sitting on a couch outside with Sophie Hudson talking to her, and she, you know, we're having a great time. It's a whole thing. But I decide to steer clear of most of the crowd because I got the memo, but I overcomplicated the memo a little bit. An hour into the party, Aaron's husband, Ben Moon, we're all standing out and he comes out and I'm talking to Aaron. He comes out and he goes, I thought Kendra was coming. Is Kendra not coming? And I was like, what's up, Ben? Like, I was right there. And he was like, what? Because I didn't look like myself. Because again, I was scaring on. I didn't have my glasses on. It was a whole thing. So there was a picture, a group photo that we took of everyone looking like a cool Madonna and me. And that picture, and that was about going all in. It's like sometimes you go all in and you go all in the wrong way.
Go hard.
And it's okay. Like just live your life and do your thing. And when we made stickers, when we made Lazy Genius stickers, we decided to turn the scary nun into a sticker. So and it now lives on people's water bottles.
It is on a water bottle. I see it all the time.
I want one.
I know. Hey, well, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yes, you're so welcome.
Thank you for making us laugh and making us think and making us learn and just evaluate. I mean, it's you give us all the things. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast of These Are Good Days. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.